Good morning. A couple of things before we get started. Lois Schirach has been home now for a week, and many of you know she's had this really kind of tragic, long extended thing with her injury and being in skilled nursing care and all that kind of thing. And so she's finally home, and Bonnie sent to a number of people a request in the form of an email for meals to provide for Lois. So would you check your emails just to see if Bonnie sent it to you so we can get a meal train going for her? I know that would be very helpful for Lois. She's kind of learning to walk again, and so she really should not be on her feet a whole bunch. So if we can help her in that way, I think that would be great. So this morning we have a special service and a special speaker. Brenda Lutz is a person that's been a part of our church family years ago, and she and her husband now are attending a church out in Saxonburg where her son attends, and he was a pastor there, and their daughter-in-law, and their daughter-in-law happens to be the daughter of Rich and Judy Etter. So there's there are some connections here. But in any case, Brenda. When Brenda gets passionate about something, it's like, watch out. Was that right, Ken, do you think? I mean, is I? But Brenda is one of those wonderful examples of where you don't have to be a professional and you don't have to be in professional ministry to do something significant with your life in the world in which you live. Her passion for a number of years now, has been addressing the scourge of human trafficking. So there are two kinds of human trafficking. There's labor human trafficking, where people are basically enslaved to do labor for somebody. And then there's sex trafficking as well. And so I've watched Brenda's Facebook for a number of years now, and she posts quite a bit about her concern and things that she's doing in this way. I have long thought that this should be a regular part of our missions program that we have here, that this would be one of the primary things in our missions program that we should address on a regular basis. The opportunity presented itself to have Brenda come and share about her work and what she knows about this terrible thing, this evil thing that is in our world today. And I would love for us as a church to find ways to partner with those who are trying to find ways to stop sex trafficking and human trafficking in any form. So, Brenda, why don't you come on up and share with what God has placed upon your heart. And we're so thankful that you are here, and it's great to have you. So share your passion with us.
Okay? Will do. Thank you so much. And I got to say, without Pastor Rich, neither one of our boys would be where they're at, because you have spoken into both of their lives for many years. Thank you very much. So good morning. Thank you all for having me this morning. As Pastor Rich said, my passion is to raise awareness to human trafficking. And so what I seek to do today is to go ahead to the next slide. We're working on the slide thing here. There we go. What I seek to do this morning is educate you on what human trafficking is, where it is, what it looks like, and most importantly, what you can do about it. You know, the Lord called me into this a number of years ago. I was at a Catalyst convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I heard Christine Kane speak. I don't know if any of you are aware of her, but she's a phenomenal little fireball of a preacher from Australia. Her and her husband started A21, which is an anti-human trafficking organization. And as I sat in that arena with literally tens of thousands of people, God spoke directly to my heart. And he said, Brenda, you need to do something about this. And I went, what? What am I going to do? I don't know anything about this. But I came home from that, and I began to educate myself. And the more I learned, the more I knew that, you know, we need to do something. So first off, human trafficking is the buying, owning, and selling of another human being, using them as a commodity. It is modern-day slavery. There's more slavery in our world today than there has ever been at any point in our history. There are more people trapped as slaves right now, as you sit here this morning, than there were in the 400 years combined that people were stolen out of Africa and sold into slavery around our world. And I thought, how can that be? I mean, that not here, right? Not in the United States, maybe over there somewhere. And it is over there, but it's absolutely right here as well. Human trafficking is the fastest growing crime worldwide. It is second only to drug trafficking, but catching up at a very quick pace. They actually work hand in hand. If you have a drug problem anywhere in your area, guaranteed you've got a human trafficking problem. You just haven't seen it yet, perhaps. So my goal here, as we continue, go ahead to the next one. So I am a volunteer ambassador of hope through Shared Hope International. Shared Hope was started in 1998 by then Congresswoman Linda Smith when she learned about the plight of children stuck in the sex slave industry and other parts around our world. She came back and said, we need to do something. So they formed Shared Hope. However, a few years into it, they realized, wait a second, this is happening to American children on American soil. So Shared Hope is really credited with a lot of the laws that have been passed, the awareness, the laws that are in the works to being passed, the rescue of a lot, right down to the terminology that we actually use in the in the sex trafficking industry. The Acervo Project is another excellent organization that I'm directly connected with. They're over in Moon Township as their base. Mr. Joe Sweeney started this in 2017. Joe has a huge, I don't want to say record, a huge resume. He was a Pittsburgh police officer. He was a bomb squad commander. He's been with Homeland Security. He currently works as a contractor for the United States and other countries. He was actually one of the last people that they got out of Afghanistan when that whole debacle happened because he was training Afghanis over there. But in 2017 is when his eyes were really open to what was going on in our world. And he'll tell you, he said, I'm embarrassed to say that I've been in law enforcement most of my life and had no idea the scope of this. And he couldn't sleep at night. He couldn't get a grip on it. And he and his wife sat down and talked, and so they formed the Acervo Project, which Acervo in Latin means protector. He went to his colleagues that he knows, and he said, hey, I want to do this. I want to work alongside law enforcement. Law enforcement does not have the time, the money, the resources, and a lot of time, the knowledge to go after this. This is exploding. Would you be willing to come on board and help? And they all said unequivocally, yes, we will. He said, one problem, there's no money. This is a nonprofit. They all said, that's okay. We're part of it. So I'm very proud to represent them. The work that they do is amazing. And I've worked with Joe now for quite a number of years. And they go after the pedophiles as well as rescuing the children, mostly through the internet and on social media, that kind of thing. So what I want to talk about is, and Rich touched on it, like different ways that humans can be exploited, because there are different ways. The first of which, and where this program is going to mainly center on, is the sex trafficking, the domestic minor sex trafficking, domestic United States citizen, minor under the age of 18, and sex trafficking. So that can be anything from stripping to phone sex to anything done on the internet, any type of pornography. It is a little hard to get our grip on it because right now, particularly since we've opened up our borders, we truly have no idea how many are in it or where they're at because we don't even know they're here. But there are other types of human trafficking as well. Forced labor, like Rich said, it's, you know, like the physical work that we think of when we think of slavery. Does that still happen in our world? Absolutely. Definitely more prevalent in other countries, but absolutely here in the United States. In 2018, Frontline did a story called Trafficked in America. You can look it up. And that story centered on one of the largest egg producers in the United States. Any idea what their labor force was? The majority of their labor force were Guatemalan boys. What the traffickers do is they go to other parts of our world that are very poor, such as Guatemala. They promise the kids that they can come to America and make all this money. They promise it to their parents. They're so excited. They want to make money. They want to survive or prosper. But they don't have the money to send their child to the United States. So the traffickers, the good guys that they are, say, no problem. We'll pay for their ticket. They'll just have to pay us back. Won't be any problem. They're going to make really good money. They're going to get educated, all those great things. when they busted the farm in Ohio, because they had farms in like Ohio and Iowa and obscure places. I know the one in Ohio had was either 8 or 10 boys living in a single wide trailer, no running water, no heat. And they were made to work 12 to 16 hours a day in the chicken houses. When they wanted to leave, they said, okay, go ahead, but we hold the deed to your family's property, and by the way, you have no money to get back home. They were paying them, but they were charging them more for food and rent and board and all those lovely things than they ever made. So every day they worked, they went further in debt, and that's how bonded slavery works. So we need to have our eyes open to these things because it happens right under our noses oftentimes and we don't see it. Other reasons, they can traffic for child begging, removal of organs, which, yes, does happen. I work closely with an organization called the Children's Rescue Initiative, and they have seen it personally. Child soldiers, forced marriages, illegal adoptions. Seems to be there's no end to how we as human beings can exploit other human beings, but that's what happens. So what is the big deal? Well, the big deal is that this is a $150 billion a year industry. Go ahead. That is more than Starbucks, McDonald's, and Microsoft combined. And about $100 billion of that comes from the sex slave industry. We're talking massive amounts of money here. And that's what fuels it. That's why it is such a big deal. So if it's such a big deal and it's happening, why aren't we seeing it? Why isn't it more visual? Well, because human trafficking works very much like a giant iceberg. You only maybe see that little tip on the top. The rest of it is hidden underneath. And if you're not looking for it, you oftentimes don't see it. I've got a little awareness test for you now. Go ahead and run it.
This is an awareness test. How many times does the team in white pass the ball? If you answered 13 passes, you are correct. But did you see the moonwalking gorilla?
How many of you saw the moonwalking gorilla? Good, we got a couple of you. Anthony, you've seen it before, haven't you? Isn't it crazy that that can be right in front of your face? Is there something wrong with you because you didn't see it? No. Your attention was simply diverted to something else, so you weren't aware of it and you weren't looking for it. What does a moonwalking gorilla and human trafficking have in common? Same thing. If you aren't aware of it, you don't know to look for it, and it's so easy to miss. Go ahead to the next slide. So I'm going to center a little bit here on what domestic minor sex trafficking is, or what minor sex trafficking is. It is anytime a minor, it is anytime anything of value is exchanged for anything sexual with a minor. That can mean money, but it can mean drugs, it can mean alcohol. It can mean clothing, it can mean jewelry, it can mean a place to sleep or a meal to eat. I work with kids a lot, and I have for quite a number of years. And I know kids right now that do the couch surfing, which means they really don't have any place permanent to stay. Either mom and dad are in jail or on drugs or somewhere else, or nobody, and they'll couch surf. So they'll stay somewhere here for a week and somewhere there for a week, and eventually, where do I stay? So the traffickers pick them up real easy. So anytime anything of commercial value is exchanged, that is minor sex trafficking because a minor cannot legally consent to sex. So we'll take a little bit look at the U.S. statistics. And some of these, like I said, especially since COVID, things have changed dramatically, and we're doing our best to keep up with them. It's really tough to get a lot of the statistics and what they are because it's moving so quickly. For instance, pornography is up over 1,000% since COVID started. Everybody's stuck at home, aren't traveling so much, and everybody's on their computers or their phones. So it, like I said, it's the fastest growing crime worldwide. 85% of the victims are U.S. citizens. That is an older statistic. Like I said, we're not really sure. I expect that to go higher because men aren't traveling as much. The average age of a child sold into the sex slave industry is 13 years old. That's boys and girls both. We see more girls, it's more prevalent, but the boys are also as prevalent, and we're just not seeing them. They're a harder statistic to come by. It's harder for boys to come forward. Shared Hope estimates anywhere between 18 and 40% are boys. It is known that a lot of the pedophiles that are working online specifically target boys from 12 to 18 years old. They're a high target market. Here, just in Beaver County alone, there are over 249 registered child sex offenders. Those are the ones that have already been caught and charged right here in our area. A child is worth as much as $150,000 to their trafficker, one child, 1 year. They're worth a lot of money. The younger they are, the more money they're worth. And we have definitely seen the need, which is sad to say, for younger and younger children. As you're watching the pornography go up, we're watching this happen. And so they're targeting younger and younger kids as well. Stranger danger, and this is one point that I want everybody to hear. Because we all hear about stranger danger, right? And we all teach our kids. And we hear the stories about somebody being in Walmart or in Target or getting followed. And can it happen? It absolutely can, yes. And you need to be diligent there. But 93% of the time, they have some sort of a relationship with their trafficker. It's somebody they know and somebody that they trust. That can be a family member, that can be a neighbor, that can be somebody online. And we'll dig into that here a little bit later in the program. But you need to be aware of how they're working. We all want to feel like we're keeping our kids safe, and yet I don't have my phone up here. I can't tell you how many kids I know that go to bed with their phone. It drives me crazy. You know, before we give a kid a license, they have to go through training. They've got to go through a written test. They've got to go through a driving test. We do all this work with them. And even then, they're probably going to make a mistake, and we just pray it's a fender bender and nothing more. Yet we'll give a 10-year-old an iPhone and say, here, go to bed with it. Are you kidding me? Do you have any idea how dangerous it is? You just opened every pedophile in the world into that child's bedroom, and they use it, and they're very, very good at it. So we need more training, both for our kids, for our students, and for us as parents and grandparents. It is a supply and demand world. That's just a fact. If there was no demand, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And we will look at the demand side as well. 99% of the buyers are men. That's just a fact. There's no picture for what that man looks like. He can be that creepy guy that you think of. He can be that great-looking college kid. He can be the grandfather in a retirement home. I work with a detective who's retired, and he keeps getting called back because they are hunting so many kids. Incidentally, we have no idea how many kids are missing out of our foster care system in the United States of America. We don't know. They rescued a 15-year-old girl out of a retirement home. Three men, two in their 70s and one in their 60s, arrested for trafficking her. And that's here in our area. Does that mean all men are bad? Absolutely not. We all know that. Right? Most men are fantastic. Shared Hope has a whole program for men that's called Defenders. We need men to stand up. We need men to teach our boys how to be men. Because we don't have that in our society. Not as much as we need to. So let's take a look at the traffickers. So we're going to take a look at the traffickers. We're going to take a look at the kids that are most vulnerable. And we're going to take a look at the buyers and the demand behind it. What do traffickers look like? Traffickers can look like that creepy guy down the street, or how about the pimp that we all see? I hate the word pimp. I hate what we've done to it in this nation of like, oh yeah, that's something really cool. I'm gonna pimp out my truck. Really? Do you know what a pimp is? A pimp is a brutal slave owner, period. That is all that they are. And let me tell you, if these kids don't comply, they are met with very brutal circumstances, and very, very many of them do not survive. But traffickers can look very different as well. The biggest one we see is the boyfriend trafficker. That can be small scale as far as he's got a girlfriend here, but hey, if you'll go do this favor, so-and-so will get us some drugs or alcohol, or maybe it is I need my car fixed. all the way up to the traffickers really use, they're called Romeo pimps, and it works very well with the girls to keep everybody in line, and they tell them and they make them believe that they love them. There's so many kids in our world today that never hear the words, I love you, or you're beautiful, or I'll take care of you, or I care about you. So it really is so easy to just reel the kids in, because there's so many out there on the outskirts, and they know exactly what to say and do. Unfortunately, there is a large percentage that are family members that traffic other family members. This is another one that has just gone up a lot more recently. Maybe it's because we've uncovered more of it, and maybe it's because it really has is skyrocketing with the rest of it. The last one here, women traffickers. When I first heard that, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. After understanding a little bit how it works and what they do, very oftentimes when a woman is rescued out of human trafficking, she is not only a victim, but she's also a trafficker. They are made to do that, the same as they're made to run drugs or breaking and entering or whatever else it is. That's the traffickers up here, and he makes them do everything down here. There's a case going on right now in Butler County that they're trying to get a hold of because the guy, the trafficker up here, has, you know, trafficking these kids, but he's making these kids videotape these kids. So is this one then a distributor of pornography and a trafficker, or are they a victim? So it's very layered, and there's a lot of layers to it. So the other case that was, of course, very famous was the Jeffrey Epstein case. If any of you have followed that at all, how Ghislaine Maxwell, she trafficked them. It's classic. Netflix, which I'm not real fond of, but they did have a great documentary on that, and it was classic grooming of what she did. Anybody's going to listen to a woman a lot easier than they are a man. So it makes it very easy to traffic the kids. But once again, if they're in that, in order to keep their status, if they're, you know, they're owned by their trafficker, part of their job is to recruit other girls. So we see that working a lot in high schools. If you have like new kids that come in, a lot of times the traffickers will move a new kid in, and then her job is to traffic other kids. They'll even pay like a senior high boy to woo a junior high girl, get her to sext him some pictures, and we'll talk about sextortion here in a little bit, or maybe have sex with her and videotape it unbeknownst to her, and then extort her for more. So they're very crafty. So who are the youth most at risk? Well, the ones you would think, the throwaways, the runaways, the homeless, they're at the highest risk. I figure at least one out of every seven goes into human trafficking. In the United States of America, if you run away and you're on the street, you are at least approached, if not already trafficked, in the first 48 hours of being out there. The traffickers know right where to go, and they know how to pick these kids up. And once again, it's very easy. In the United States of America, too, if you're homeless, you can't go to a homeless shelter if you're under 18, because by law, they have to send you back home. And that's awesome for the kid that just doesn't want to listen to mom and dad. Send their butts back home. But by and large, these kids are running away from a lot of abuse at home, and so they fall right into the trafficker's hands very easily. Any kids involved in the child welfare system, juvenile justice system, those kinds of things are much higher risk. Traffickers will stand right outside of the juvie hall, pick them up as they come back out, and recycle them back in. A history of sexual abuse or extreme trauma. Most everybody in any of the sex industry, will say, has been abused as a child. The rate is like 95%. Same thing, by the way, for incarcerated men, if you weren't aware. It is in the 90 percentile that they grew up without a father and were sexually abused as children. It is at an epidemic. Substance abuse issues makes them more vulnerable. The LGBT community and whatever other initials they put by it. Kids questioning their gender are absolutely at a higher risk. It seems like now everybody in the world's questioning their gender, but kids in particular, it makes them much more vulnerable. They also oftentimes are at a higher wanted rate. They'll pay more for them. The last one is really the one I want to touch on, though, because it's feelings of not fitting in or being different or weird. I don't know a 13-year-old kid out there that doesn't feel different or weird, or doesn't feel like they don't fit in. Why? They're not supposed to. It's the way God created them. They're supposed to figure out who they are, and that's a good thing. But that is also what the traffickers capitalize on. They know exactly what to say, and they know how to say it to make that kid feel like they're wanted and they're loved and they're beautiful or they're whatever it is, whatever they need to hear, they know what to say. That's why all kids are vulnerable, and that's why we all need better educated with this. One of my main goals has been to get education into our school systems. And just last week is the very first school district we've been able to get into, and it's in Indiana County. I am over the top excited because we finally get the opportunity to talk to students. Every presentation that we do, that's the one question. Are we doing this in the schools? Why aren't we? I don't know. It's your school. You go beat down the doors. You tell them, you demand, we need this training in our schools for our teenagers and our kids. I work closely with an organization called Power Over Predators. They're out of Arizona. They have an amazing curriculum. I have some of the brochures back there, too. It is $120 a year, 10 bucks a month to join it. As a parent, as a school teacher, as an entire school, it doesn't matter. There's 5 lessons for kids that hit on everything from... it covers bullying, it covers suicide, it covers human trafficking, it covers cyber and how to keep themselves safe. Very affordable, very well done. It also has, at least 10 different videos for parents on how to deal with it and what they're up against and to train them. It's updated, as soon as they get new information, it's updated. Anyway, that's my plug for POP, Powers Over Predator, excellent one. Also, as we're going through this, if you have questions, and I should have mentioned that in the beginning, don't hesitate to raise your hand or write them down because we'll answer some questions here at the end and can go over some stuff. So where are the predators' hunting ground? Well, social media is the biggest right now. As I said, since COVID, this has exploded even more. This is where they hunt. I've had parents say, I just have a puppy dog rainbow app that my daughter likes to play. Dude, where do you think the pedophiles are at? It's where they hunt. You have to be aware of what they do. They do something called fishing. And every night, pedophiles will throw out maybe 200 lines and watch. And all it takes is a kid to post, I hate my parents, or I'm so ugly, or I want to kill myself. Bam. They know what to say, and they'll start reeling them in. Another thing that they do, and it is called, I don't think it's on this one, I'm behind you, hang on a sec. There's a book called, what is it? It's back there on the table. A World Without Borders and a Home Without Walls. Societal Shift. It was written by Opal Singleton. She started millionkids.org out of California. And it is a great book to help you better understand how the pedophiles work. But they actually work like a pack of wolves. So they'll go into, let's say, a game that one of the kids are playing. And we all tell our kids, just like everything else, don't give out personal information. Don't do this, da-da-da-da-da. But it's part of their grooming process. And they might groom a kid for 4 months, 6 months. And so Johnny thinks he's playing Fortnite, and he's really loving it. And he finally connects with this kid. It's like, man, a best friend. And he lives a couple states over. They have so much in common. They're working together on the game. There's other kids in there playing. What Johnny doesn't know is that's a 45-year-old man, and the other ones are all over the world. And they all have a fetish for little boys. So what they do is they groom him for different information. So he's not telling one person everything. He thinks they're all friends. They get to a point in the game then where can't get past that next level. And Johnny can't get there, and he doesn't have the right coin or whatever it is that he needs. So his friend says, no problem. I'll give you some. Here you go. Just send me a little dick pic. Ha, ha, ha. That'll be funny, right? Johnny thinks, what's the big deal? My face isn't on it, right? I'll just take a quick little picture and send it out. Yeah. And then they start extorting him for more and more and more because now they know all about him. And if you don't send me more pornographic pictures, guess what? I'm going to tell your mom or your dad or your school or your church. I'm going to come get one of them. So I need more and more and more and more. The one case I recently was told about was a 12-year-old boy. And by the time the police got there and stepped in, by the time they figured this out, not only had he sent hundreds and thousands of pictures and videos, but he also molested his little sister and sent those as well. because he felt like he had nowhere to turn and he didn't know what else to do. That's called sextortion, and it works very well. And I think that this is also a direct thing that we're seeing in the teen suicide and the younger kids' suicide as it raises, because they feel like they're trapped and they don't know what to do. Now, is there hope in all this? Absolutely. I would not be here if there wasn't hope. There is always, always hope. But we need educated so that we know how to combat these things and we know what to do. I have a short video here next from Power Over Predators. Go ahead and run it.
I did not know that 88% of sex trafficking cases are internet-based and that people who are sex trafficked are 3 times more likely to attempt suicide.
Power Over Predators teaches kids how to identify and report a potential sex trafficker.
I didn't know that at any given time there are 50,000 sexual predators online and that child pornography is the fastest growing crime against children.
Power Over Predators teaches students how to identify, then report online predators so they don't end up victims of sexual exploitation.
I didn't know sextortion was the biggest threat to kids, that 42% of teens sexted by age 14, and that those who sext are 5 times more likely to attempt suicide.
Power Over Predators teaches students the risks and consequences of sexting and empowers those who've been abused to tell their story and get help.
I didn't know that suicide was the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 25, and that the key to reducing stress, anxiety, and depression is by being in safe and smart relationships.
Power Over Predators inspires hope and a purpose for every person's future and the ability to determine relationship goals and skills to reach those goals.
Now I know I am able to protect myself and the people I love from abusive predators.
Now I know that I am free from the lies of shame that tell me I am worthless.
Now I know I am loved without any conditions, and I don't have to settle for toxic relationships.
Now I know I am powerful and my life has a purpose.
Now I know I am priceless.
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 I love her in the end, man. I am priceless. Every child is priceless. Every human being is priceless. They need to know that, and we need to tell them that. We're going to shift a little bit and go to demand. If we were able to arrest every pimp or trafficker, if we were able to rescue every victim, if we did all this but we leave demand unchecked, this market is going to continue to operate. There's no doubt about it. So what's behind it? What's fueling it? Absolutely pornography. Absolutely. That's the biggest, that's the rocket fuel behind all of this. Pornography is not only used, and I think so often it's behind a screen, right? And they really like it, right? It's so easy. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to see this. And look how happy they are. What you don't realize is that they use pornography to train the kids, so they know exactly what to say, when to say, and how to say it, and they must comply. There is no wavering in that. They are met with absolutely brutal circumstances. You know, as I have walked through this, I have learned to not say, I can't get any worse than that. Because as soon as you think you heard the worst story you've ever heard, there's another one that comes down. And so I know not to say that anymore. But let me tell you, I don't know how they survive, and many of them don't. Pornography also changes the chemical balance in your brain. It's proven. It does the same thing to your brain that hard drugs do, heroin, cocaine, same thing, man. And so you start out here and you think, oh, I'm just looking at this and that's not so bad, and then I need a little more to get that high, and I need a little more, and I need a little more, and before you know it, you've got a grown man buying a 13-year-old for sex. It's a slippery slope, man. We are raising an entire generation. The largest consumers of pornography are 11 to 14-year-old boys. Not really surprised if you've raised boys or are a guy, probably. It's at their fingertips all the time, and it's in their brains all the time. We now have a whole generation of men that are coming forward in their 20s and 30s and saying, I can't have normal sexual relationship with my wife because my brain is so fried from the pornography that's gone into it. I need help. There's a lot of help groups out there, and we need more of them. We need to teach our boys what it is to be a man. We're teaching an entire generation of girls. This is how you're treated. This is what's supposed to happen. No, it's not. So we need to really dissect it and get in there and stand up and say, I'm going to stand against it, because it is ruining not only your life, but those lives around you as well. This is from the New York Times report back in 2019. So like I said, it's really tough to get up-to-date statistics on a lot of this. This is the latest that I could find. This is reports of child sexual abuse imagery online. And of course, we're online a lot more. But it went from like 2014 to 1 million, 2018 to 45 million. And Joe, when I met with him last week from a survey, he said, I would bet that has doubled by now, by 2022. So is this a huge problem? It is. And do we need to address it? Absolutely. I'm going to read you a poem now, because this is something that I've heard early on. Well, don't they choose this life? I mean, after all, prostitution is the oldest profession, right? We've all heard that. It's the oldest oppression, that I agree with. Absolutely. This book, Renting Lacey, was written by Linda Smith, who started Shared Hope International. It's an excellent read if you want to better understand the plight of American children stuck in this industry. And this is called When I Grow Up. It says, when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. I want to be used however they like. And I'll say, oh, baby, yes, I love it. I love everything about you. And I'll hold back my vomit and keep on my smiles to convince them so that they'll stop slapping me. But because I love it, because I love the taste of everything about them, they'll say that I'm a slut, a dirty little girl who needs to be punished. They'll burn cigarettes into my skin, jab me any place they like, bloody my nose, blacken my eyes, laugh at my tears, hold a gun to my head, cut me, tattoo me. All the while, their eyes grow large and excited, and I'll scream and I'll cry and I'll beg because I can't act anymore. I don't want to be riding a pink bicycle with a basket on the front. I hate those little girls with their hands held tight by their fathers who look at me in disgust and cover their daughter's eyes so they don't see me. I don't want to be one of those little girls with a decorated bedroom and frilly pillows on my bed. I don't want to giggle and talk about whether or not a boy likes me. I don't want to decide for myself whether to wait for marriage and be a virgin. When I grow up, I don't want to attend college or consider joining a sorority or have my own apartment. I don't want to try different career paths to figure out who I am. I don't wish for a wedding someday in a church or on the beach with my dad walking me down the aisle and little flower petals beneath my feet. Who cares about baby showers or decorating a nursery? I don't want to learn how to cook or decide whether or not to be a stay-at-home mom or a working mom. I don't want any of these things because when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. Now, who can believe that? Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I don't know about all of you. I am done doing nothing. And we can all do something. But what can we do? Let's take a look. First off, share what you learned here this morning. Educate yourself. Talk to others. Start helping to educate them. There is a great little website called IamOnWatch.org. Goes through really cool little training videos. It takes about an hour, but will help you understand it a little bit better and be able to recognize more. Pornography, stop it. Learn what it's doing to you and those around you. Talk about it. Volunteer and support with any anti-human trafficking organization. I'm connected with a lot of them. And over the years, I've just, you know, we make a lot of connections, as you have heard. This is massive, massive. Don't let it overwhelm you. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Take your bite, whatever that might be. Take it. Do something. If you want to work for effective laws, get in contact with Shared Hope. Living in Liberty is a local Pittsburgh organization that's really good. If you're not sure where to go, contact me. I've got cards back there. You know, you can text me or call me or find me on Facebook. And I'll help you figure out where you feel like God's calling you to combat it. This is one time, if you've got a phone, get it out now. I want you to take a couple pictures, okay? This first picture The first picture is the National Human Trafficking Hotline number. You can call, you can text, it's 24/7. If you feel it's an emergency, call 911. And I tell all the kids that I work with it, when you get that gut feeling, we've all had that, like something's not right. Listen to it. God put it there for a reason. But you're going to need these phone numbers. This next one is the phone number of the Acervo Project because they started a helpline and they're right here in our area. A lot of times the National Human Trafficking Hotline, honestly, they're pretty overwhelmed. Call them anyway. What they'll do is they can kind of then focus in on where the hot spots are. Incidentally, human trafficking sounds like that they're being moved, and absolutely they can be. That's why your major highways are huge hotlines. Ohio, I think, is number 5th or 6th in the United States right now. New York's number 5. What's in between them? Pennsylvania. We're right here, too. Those major highways are big time where they move them. But they do not have to move your kids, particularly with what's going on the internet now and how they're trafficking them. They're trafficking them right out of their bedrooms, right there. They have videos. They get a video. They can sell that over and over and over again. So very renewable product. That's it. Societal Shift. That was the one book I talked about, and I have it back there. You're welcome to take a picture if you want. But that gives you a great idea of how the pedophiles are working on the internet. The Acervo Project right now, we're in the middle of putting together a program for apps for parents, so they can better learn how to protect their kids. There is an app out there called BARK, B-A-R-K, that works very well, that will alert the parent when their child gets something comes through on their phone. It has keywords and key phrases that will then let the parent know. So when Susie's playing on her little Happy Ponies app and somebody throws something that's sexual, mom or dad are gonna know it. They get an alert. The next one, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, just a little plug because I think this is a great little book. There's junior, and then this is the junior one, and then there's one for a little bit older kids. It gives your kids some tools. I bought a whole case of them, hand them out at Christmas time because I've got a lot of little ones in my area because we've got little grandkids right now. But a kid instantly knows when they see pornography, something's wrong. I'm going to be in trouble. What do you do when you see that? Well, now you can open up that door so you can come talk to mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever, but say, hey, I saw this. Okay, what did you see? Let's talk about it. The regular one, I would say, starts around 8 or 9 years old, and it does go very, very well done, goes into like pornography. What does it do to your brain? We tell kids, don't do drugs, right? Don't do drugs. That's going to hurt you. Do we say anything about pornography? We don't want to talk about that. Well, guess what? The pedophiles are. And they target the kids. That is exactly what they go after. So we need to be able to give our kids some tools. So that's just a couple plugs that I had. That's the end of the presentation. Anybody have any questions? I know I just like fire hosed you with stuff. Go ahead.
I have 2.
Okay.
I'm an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So this terrifies me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes and yes. I think that a lot of them do work, but you have to remember the amount of money we're talking about, and these traffickers are very intelligent and very well connected, and they're a step ahead of us. So like the apps on the phones, they teach the kids how to hide. You can hide apps behind the calculator. So it looks like a calculator on your phone. There's hidden apps behind there. So that's why Acervo is putting together this program for parents to help you better stay on top of what's going on. And another reason why I would suggest like Power Over Predators, because they've got those things on and it gives you more tools. Number one, no phones in bed at night. ever. And the majority of kids I work with all go to bed with their phones. Well, I need my music. No, you don't need your music. Everybody else gets you. I don't care. You know, I'm your mom. The answer is no. Tough. You know, so part of that, too, is if they mess up, because they're probably going to make a mistake, they're kids, right? You've got to keep that communication open so they can come and talk to you. And then you as a parent can freak out. Okay, so you sent that picture, or somebody sent that picture to you. All right, what are we going to do about it? You know, we had a case where the one girl, they were seventh grade, had a boyfriend, and she sexted him a picture. He talked her into it. And so she sexted him a picture. Because you have to understand, kids nowadays share sexting like my kids shared Pokemon cards. And that's just, that is the world we're living in. And so they were extorting her friend to give pictures of her and said, if you don't give us pictures, we're going to send out that picture of your friend. So they need to be able to keep that communication open.
My next question was, what can we do as parents? We already shared a lot of that already. For younger girls that are 11, have age-appropriate conversations.
Absolutely.
With them.
Yes. Right.
Because that's how I was raised.
Right, exactly.
And we have a password that anybody tries to pick her up. My mom said she might have,
right.
You know, what's the password? They don't know it. She doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so I've taught her all of that, but this, she's better on the computer than I am.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
so
they all are.
That's what terrifies.
Mm-hmm. Education takes that terror away. So, you know, giving your kids tools. So when I talk to teens and stuff, I'll be like, okay, so what are some red flags? You think this is your friend you're playing with, right, on a game? Or because the pedophiles can actually copy somebody's profile, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, and pretend they're that person. But when they start, here's some key phrases. Okay, well, they ask you to send them a nude. Excuse me, red flag. Why, if you're my friend, would you do that? What are some other red flags? What are some, and then how do you respond to it? So they have like a toolbox of stuff instead of like, I don't know. And then what do you do if you make that mistake? What do you do if you get stuck in that? How do you get out? You know, and that's where the communication has to be open. Yeah.
I have a 5-year-old granddaughter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they live in a very nice neighborhood.
Right.
And she and I were like, and so how do you explain to a 5-year-old that, I'm sorry, but I.
Without scaring her. And I don't think it's more your, the way you talk to them about it.
I finally just had a threat. Do we have to like go through the, you weren't listening today
sorry.
When your parents come home?
Right. Because I said so. I hated that, and then I used it. So,
you're not
okay.
Done. I thought maybe I could offer something.
Yes, go for it.
Because maybe we can do a little bit of this. So part of what makes this difficult is, I don't know if you can give me a mic here, but part of what makes this difficult are the developmental issues with children. So that's the question you had. So how do I help my 5-year-old granddaughter, grandson, be aware? And so, because they are concrete thinkers. They are not formal operational thinkers. They cannot think conceptually. They can only think in concrete ways. And so they just can't understand. That's where parents really have to play the part that they have to play. And be more overt in their protection, because at some point, like with your 11-year-old daughter, you're not always there.
Not going to be.
Your parents are almost always there for their 5-year-old granddaughter. your five-year-old, but you're not always there. And so now she has to do some things on her own and make some of her own choices without you. You know, you can helicopter all you want, but you still can't be there, you know, for everything. And so, and it's not even healthy for parents to be there all the time. So this is part of what makes it complex. So I'm not trying to steal your thunder, but having done youth ministry for 100 billion years, I mean, these are some of the things that we had to wrestle with our own kids. Let me also say this, and Brenda alluded to this, but I think it's worth underscoring. So we have to understand that many kids are susceptible to this because they are intrinsically motivated to be susceptible. They are damaged inside. Their parents are, their families are not functioning very well. And so so we have to fix that. If we can fix what's going on, the sense of purpose and meaning in the lives of families and children and having a deeper faith and all that kind of stuff, if we can fix those kinds of things, we can also put a dent in this as well. It's one thing to get to the sourcing kinds of things that you were talking about, but if we can harden our children and our parents against that even more, which means that we really have to think about our priorities, about the kind of time and the way that we spend with our kids and how we invest in them and all of those kinds of things as well. So this is multi-layered, multifaceted, and we need the wisdom of God to navigate this, you know, with our children, our grandchildren. I was just back there with Kevin. I said, makes you think differently about your own grandkids, doesn't he? He said, absolutely. Wow. He said, that's one.